بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد All men have been reciting the Kitab on Aqaid. This is the introduction again. From the Quran and Hadith we learn that the most valuable treasure is Iman, the greatest calamity is Kufr. Everlasting success is the result of Iman, whilst everlasting loss is the consequence of Kufr. Allah has made two groups. One is a disbeliever, for him is everlasting punishment in Jahannam, and the believer is the one who submits to the command of Allah Ta'ala. He is grateful, accepts the sovereignty of Allah Ta'ala and affirms his rule. Allah is promising great rewards, lofty mansions in the gardens of paradise, peace and perpetual happiness. Allah will only accept a person's amal and actions if your iman is present. Without correct iman, righteous deeds are not accepted for reward in the year after. Allah says in the Quran, "An amila salihan min dhakarin aw unsa wa huwa mu'minun." If you do good actions, male or female, while you've got iman within yourself. The first question to be posed to a person in the grave will be regarding beliefs. So our aqaid are like our roots, and the actions are like branches. Just as how branches grow because of the roots, similarly beliefs are the source of actions. The greatest and most imperative obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. Adorn ourselves with good actions and try to earn Allah's pleasure. It is in fact the prime object of coming in this world. Secondly, we must realize that from all the religions, Islam is the chosen religion by Allah Ta'ala Himself. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. And no other deen. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَا يُقْبَلَ مِنْ Whoever chooses any other path besides Islam will not be accepted from him. And thirdly, we have to understand that the true followers of Islam are the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat are those people who follow the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. We hold firm unto that way. So these are our qaid and our beliefs. So we have to learn those beliefs which are found in the Quran and the Hadith and explained by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So in our why this Kitab was prepared also, just to explain the great importance of our qaid. So we should learn, take any Kitab on qaid, a reliable Kitab, and we should always be reading it at least once in a year, go over our basic aqaid, our basic beliefs, which is a continuous basis. So a person mustn't happen, a person is thinking, I've got iman, but one important aspect of his iman is missing, and then is that iman is not accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And together with this, we have to make an effort to strengthen our iman. I've got iman is not sufficient, but through amal, good actions, person's iman and yaqeen should increase. Hazrat has given a beautiful example. A person has got a torch. So in the torch, you've got batteries. Now if you need 6 batteries and you've got 5 only, the torch will never work. It will never give you light. So whatever the number of things we have to believe in, that has to be constant. We have to believe in those things. Then in each battery, if there's weakness in there, it will give very little bit of light. But the stronger the cells are, the batteries are, if you charge them up, now they're very strong, they will give you a lot of light. So one is we have to have the right amount of self, the right amount of iman, things what we believe in, and then we have to make an effort to make it stronger also. So this must be an effort throughout a person's life, on our iman, and we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily, as we had mentioned yesterday, one simple dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِيخُ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. Let Allah give us true understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the Qur'an Kareem. What a great kitab Allah has given us. And inna deena yusrun, our deen is very, very simple, and the solutions to our problems are also very simple. A person will think now, for to save myself from all kinds of problems and difficulties, I'd have to read maybe one para of Quran every day. I'd have to read so much. Definitely we should read more Quran Sharif, a person reads, the better for a person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the simplest of surahs, which every person knows, Allah has kept so much of success, so much of goodness for a person. For example, Surah Fatiha, simple surah, we all know it. Ayatul Kursi, we all know Ayatul Kursi, simple. Today we will just discuss the last 3 surahs of the Quran. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Such simple surahs, but what great benefits they are for a person. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nawawi Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned that if you've got a gardener, and the gardener has got a plantation, he's making a plant, or he's making a building, and he's got a tree, and he wants the fruits to come out from the tree. So he'll have the tree. But now the gardener has to look after the tree. And if he doesn't look after the tree, obviously the tree will die. So what the gardener has to look after, one is on the external portion of the tree he has to look after, And from inside also he has to make sure that there is no harm coming to the tree. So externally he says that there are four enemies which can destroy this tree. One enemy is like an animal which by its very nature will cause harm to the tree. For example, you'll get a cow, a herbivorous animal, it will come there, it'll start eating the plants of the tree. A goat will come and destroy the tree. So firstly, the farmer has to be very careful, the gardener, that no animal whose very nature is such, it will come and destroy the tree, comes near the tree, he has to keep it away from there. Second thing he says is that sometimes to look after the tree also, a person has to ensure that there is enough water, there is enough sunlight. Without water, without sunlight, the tree will die. So the basic necessities of it, he has to make sure it reaches there and it's not deprived of it. Number three, he has to be very careful also that there is no external forces which come and destroy the tree. For example, there might be frost, hail. So many of the farmers actually got certain things to look after the trees when the extreme cold comes, or suddenly there was a extreme heavy rain. Now the whole tree is destroyed, the whole crop for that year is destroyed. So he has to have some ways of protection also for the tree. He has to look after the tree. And fourthly, sometimes you have got an enemy who doesn't like you. So in the middle of the night he comes with his axe, chopper, and he comes and he destroys the tree. So you also have to be careful, you have some security guards around so that he won't come at night, your enemy won't come and try to cause harm to you. So he says that these are the four external enemies which can cause harm to the tree. And then there is one internal thing which can cause harm to the tree, and sometimes it's called termites. And they start working from inside the tree, they start biting and eating, and they eat through the whole trunk, and the person doesn't realize it. And one day he goes and he hits the tree, and suddenly you see the whole huge tree comes crashing down. You thought there was a pretty wonderful tree, the fruits are going to be coming out soon, but now you realize inside is completely empty, and the thing falls down, it's completely destroyed. So Mawlana Qasim Nawawi Rahmatullahi says that similarly we've got the tree of Iman. Allah has given us Iman. We've come in this world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a physical body. And we've got our soul and our internal body. So now we have to look after both of them. Otherwise if a person only got a ruh, he's got no body, he cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cannot do anything. So we have to look after our physical body also, and we have to look after our spiritual body. So Allah has given us these two surahs. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, will protect us from all external forces, the four external enemies which will come and cause harm to a person. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, will protect us from the internal force which will try and destroy us. Externally, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقُ, we are asking Allah Ta'ala protection from every such thing whose by very nature it wants to cause harm to human beings. For example, like scorpions, wild animals, they try to cause harm by their nature, they cause harm to a person. So when a person is reading the surah, he's asking Allah protection from all those animals, all things by its very nature will try to cause harm to a person. In شَرِّ مَا خَلَقُ وَمِنْ شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبٍ, we are asking Allah Ta'ala protection from every such thing which will deprive a person of the basic necessities of life. We need our water, we need sun, we need our rosy and sustenance. So a person must not be deprived of that. So in this he's asking Allah Ta'ala protection from being deprived of the basic necessities of life, so his body can continue growing. وَمِنْ شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, all external forces which will try to cause harm to a person. The person is driving, he doesn't realize it, and suddenly he has met in a big accident. And now so much of harm comes to himself, his family. So in شَرِّ النَّفَّاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ, we are asking Allah Ta'ala protection from external forces which can cause harm to a person. And number four, a person in his life will always have enemies. Somebody will try to cause harm to him. So مِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدُ, Allah, I'm asking you protection from external enemies who will try to come and cause harm to me, to my physical body. SubhanAllah, in one surah Allah Ta'ala has mentioned all of the protection for a person's physical body. The internal body of a person is قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. As I mentioned, like how you get a termite going in the tree, it eats in the inside and eventually destroys the whole tree. So inside, in our hearts, in our minds, the internal enemy is shaitan. And you get shaitan of two different types. One is of the jinnat, which we know, in the shaitan yajri min al-insan yumajjir al-dam, it flows in the blood of man. Like how blood flows, it comes, the waswasa, thoughts are put in a person's mind. And there is jinnati wa nas, human beings also, who will try to change a person's mind, a person's thinking, a person's iman, will attack it. Sometimes you see the person's body, alhamdulillah, is very, very, very good, it's very strong, but inside is completely devoid of iman. Even though outwardly he might be wearing a topi, he might be wearing a kurta, but inside he's got no iman. You even get some youngsters nowadays who say, I don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't believe in his existence, but just because of family pressure, I come to the masjid, I perform my namaz, other people will say. So I come for Jummah Salah. But for the past 5 years, I don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inside has been eaten up. There's no iman left in that person. But outwardly he's showing is a form of Islam. So thus, protecting of our internal, which is the most important thing. That is why in this surah, Allah Ta'ala uses three of his names. Kula a'udhu bi rabbin nas, malikin nas, ilahin nas. Because the harm which will come to a person's deen is the most greatest harm. So we're asking Allah Ta'ala protection from this here. And from the evil of waswas, these thoughts which are put in a person's mind, it changes a person's ideologies, his mind and his thinking. And in today's time, two main sources of how a person's thoughts are changed and ideologies are changed. One is by means of the media, whether it's the television, whether it's the social media. So a person is reading all of these things and it has an effect upon a person's iman. The books a person is reading, novels a person is reading. So all of this here, it has an effect upon a person. A novel is not just written, there's an ideology behind it. So one day a certain way of thinking. And a person might think it's a harmless book. When we were small, we read like books like Famous Five and all of these books. The parents give it to the children. There's nothing harmful in these books. But really it creates an ideology in a person. For example, these boys, and they're going with their cousins. They're going together. They've got a dog. The dog is their best friend. So a person doesn't realize it, but slowly his mind is changing. And he's thinking there's nothing wrong with this concept. There's no hijab. There's a boyfriend, there's a girlfriend. When you're reading it, a person is becoming desensitized. His iman is becoming weak, he's not realizing it. So one is by the means of the literature and all the propaganda which is found. And the other is by means of the schools. When a person goes to school, the things which are placed into a person's mind, the thought, what comes in the textbooks, the sohbat and company of a person is in the company many times of non-Muslim teachers, and a child normally he gets very affected by the environment around him. What his teacher will teach him, this will remain forever in a person's life. He will always, my teacher said this, this is the kind of clothing he wore, this is what he taught me in class. And this has a greater effect upon a child. One of our friends in America, he said that his 9-year-old niece came home and told her mother, you know what, I don't think there's a big bang or we came from a monkey. So the mother said, what the teacher is saying is all nonsense. But the child now, he got full respect for the teacher. So after a while, the child said, I'm not a Muslim anymore. I'm believing what my teacher is saying. A 9-year-old child, 10-year-old child. Because what the teacher is saying, the child thinks that he's got a lot of proofs what he's saying. My parents don't know, so they're not so clever like the teacher. The teacher is more cleverer. So what it has a great effect upon the child of the person. And in all in the environment also, is that our friends, the company a person keeps, this actually destroys also. And normally a person, the companies are very good. And then especially our daughters, Islamic law is once a girl, even a boy reaches the age of puberty, they become baligh. And males and females have to be separated. Even so much so that the girl cannot learn from a male ustad, and boys cannot learn from female teachers. But in this environment, where the boys and girls are sitting together, and then they are learning from their teachers, where there's male teachers, female teachers, how many cases is that? Young boys having an affair with their own teachers also. So all of these fitnas are there. So all of this has a great effect upon a person's iman, and a person is growing up in this environment. So the ideal is for a person to completely come out and cut himself off from this environment. A person does homeschooling in an environment, an Islamic environment, and the basics we have to learn, and we give more effort to our deen. And as I said, if a person doesn't want to do, go into business, some lot of barakat and blessings Allah has kept in business. But anyhow, these environments are so harmful and poisonous to a person's iman. So the bare minimum we can do at least, if a person, that is the ideal and what a person should strive towards, that our children and our family members, we should encourage them and try to come out of the system. But the bare minimum we can do at least, if we are not coming out of the system, is at least protect ourselves to whatever we call damage control. To whatever extent, at least the iman of the person must remain safe. So one simple way is these two surahs. وَقُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ for building up of our iman. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ protection of our external. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ protection from our internal. In the hadith, we encourage so much to read these duas. Comes in one hadith, every person who reads them three times in the morning, three times in the evening. Then تَكْفِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And one meaning is تَكْفِيكَ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah will suffice you from every kind of evil, every kind of harm which can come to a person. There is all, whatever harms, whether it's sicknesses, whether it's all of these external problems, loss of wealth, all of these evils, Allah will protect a person. So morning and evening, and after Fajr Salah, three times we read it, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ حَدْ قُلْ أَوْذِ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقُ قُلْ أَوْذِ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And after the Maghrib Salah also, we try to read it three times. Then one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, that every night before sleeping, and when you wake up in the morning, first thing, person must read it. So at night when we're going to sleep, قل هو الله أحد قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. One time we blow on our hands, pass it over the body. Second time, blow it over the body. And third time, so three times the person breathes it. And we wake up in the morning, first thing, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما ماتنا وإليه النشور. And we read these surahs again. With such a protection they are. So at that time also a person must read it. Whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sick, in one hadith it comes after every namaz. So after Fajr and after Maghrib we read it three times. Then after Zuhar, after Asr, and after our Isha Salah, we normally read our Tasbih Fatimi, we read Ayatul Kursi, and then read one time, Qul huwallahu ahad, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Nas. So after every namaz, and after Fajr and Maghrib, three times we read it. The other namazes, one time. When we wake up in the morning, first thing also we read it. And when we are going to sleep at night also, we try and read it. And whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sick also, then he would read it three times and blow over his whole body. And when Nabi sallallahu was extremely sick, then Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha read it for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she blew over his hands, onto his hands, and then she used his hands. They were cannot my hands ever equal the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she passed it over the body of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even for sickness, a person should recite this dua. And on the day of Jumu'ah, after Jumu'ah Salah, a person reads it seven times after Jumu'ah Salah, after our sunnat. In the following Jumu'ah, a person will be protected from all kinds of evils. Seven times, قُلْ وَاللَّهُ حَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So really these are very simple surahs, and Allah give us tawfiq that we make it a part of our wealth and our wazaif. Such great benefits there for a person, protection from all kinds of evils and harms. And in there, and so simple Allah has made it. If you think according to our logic, it would have been one hard surah, 5-6 pages, 10 pages a person must recite. But such simple surahs which every one of us knows, we try to bring this into our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Just to conclude, as it is mentioned in Ramadan, and every hadith mentions wrongly, that there are seven rites of the Quran Sharif, and very basically, we'll go over them quickly. The first is the rite of the Iman with Quran, to believe in the Quran Sharif. It means to believe in the whole Quran, Quran as a whole, and to believe in every single verse of the Quran. Sometimes I may require weakness in the laws of hijab, in the laws of interest, for example, insurance. I'm taking out insurance policies, but I must at least know it's haram. Allah has made it haram. Whether it comes to inheritance, this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is my weakness. Capital punishment, that's the most superior system which Allah ta'ala has made. So while I believe in the Quran, I have to believe in every single verse of the Quran Sharif, even though I've got some weakness in my own a'mal and actions. This is the first right of the Quran. Second right of the Quran Sharif is to have love of the Quran Sharif. We should actually make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grant us the love, place the love of the Quran in the recesses of our heart. Not like how we got so much of love for our cell phones. As soon as namaz is finished, we pull out our cell phone to check if we got any messages. But how much of our time, after every namaz, take out the Quran Sharif for 5 minutes to read? How much of time we got for our cell phone and how much of time have we got for the Quran? So we have so much of love for Quran that a person all the time is connected with the Quran Sharif. Number three, together with the love of the Quran, we have to have azimuth and greatness and adab for the Quran Sharif. Not like how we could love our novels and we throwing it on our bed. Together with the love of the Quran Sharif, we have to have the greatest amount of azimuth, respect, honor for the Quran Sharif, how we hold the Quran Sharif, how we kiss the Quran Sharif, cover the Quran Sharif. So to have the greatest amount of respect for the Quran Sharif. Number four is to learn the Quran Sharif. Throughout our life, to continuously learn the Quran Sharif, to make it an effort, no matter what level of knowledge we've got. There is no limit to the Quran Sharif. Knowledge is infinite in there. So whether it's a basic nazira to learn how to read the Quran, or then to become hafiz of the Quran, even if a person is old, it does not mean he cannot become hafiz of Quran. How many, mashallah, we get people 60 years, 70 years old, they becoming hafiz of Quran also. So never ever stop our learning of Quran. Once you become learn hafiz of Quran, to understand the meaning of the Quran by sitting in the company of ulama, sulaha, pious people, read the translation of the Quran. A reliable translation. If you got any doubt, you ask the ulama ikram. So ta'allum al-Quran, to continuously learn the Quran Sharif throughout our life. Number five, tilawat al-Quran. The person must make sure he's reading Quran Sharif daily. Take out some time. Sometime we should make it our habit every day in our life. I must read Quran Sharif. Not that tomorrow is Ramadan has come to an end now, so I close my Quran Sharif and I'll see it next Ramadan. I have a certain fixed time. And every day in our life, we make tilawat of Quran Sharif. Allah make us among those people. Mashallah, those mubarak are those people who every namaz time, they come in the masjid, even 2 pages, 3 pages, they read Quran Sharif. Little bit even. So then, وَرَزُقْنَا تِلَاوَةَ وَآنَا اللَّيْلِ وَآنَا النَّهَارِ. Allah give us tawfiq of making tilawat day and night. So now 24 hours a person is actually engaged in the Quran Sharif. It's being Fajr time, Zuhar time, Asr time, Maghrib time, Isha time. Even if it's 3 pages, 2 pages, 1 page even. 5 pages throughout the day he'll be reading. In the whole year he'll manage to make one khatam, and then in the month of Ramadan he'll make another khatam. So in that way he fulfills the right of the Quran, which is the minimum is two khatams there. But there are much more a person does, the much more benefit a person will get. Then the next right of the Quran is amal bil Quran, to practice upon the Quran Sharif. But whatever we are reading now, try to bring it into our lives. Where we have got weaknesses, we ask Allah for forgiveness. May we get the tawfiq of doing it, to make shukr that Allah will increase us in that amal. And then ta'aleem e Quran, to teach the Quran Sharif. In whatever way, whatever little that we know, we can teach our children. I have a dars of Quran if a person is a alim. Some way we learn to teach the Quran Sharif, and to, if we cannot physically ourselves do it, get somebody else, pay that person, and try to teach the Quran Sharif, the words of the Quran, the meaning of the Quran Sharif. And finally, tabligh e Quran, to propagate the message of the Quran Sharif to the entire world. The Quran is not only for Muslim people, it's for non-Muslim people also. Hudallin nas, for all the people, we have to give them the message of the Quran Sharif. It's our duty as Muslims that not to be selfish with our Islam, but to convey the message to the whole of mankind till the day of Qiyamah. So wherever we meet people, we teach them, tell them what is in the Quran, the greatness of the Quran, what Allah Ta'ala has taught us in the Quran. And really the effect of the Quran is such that it is a miracle of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah has given us a great bounty to protect us in this world from all kinds of calamities and to take us safely to Jannah. It is the rope of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. A person who holds firm to the rope of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala tightly, the rope of Allah will never break. Only we must not leave the rope of Allah Ta'ala, otherwise we will fall into destruction. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant us all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-karim. Amma ba'd. وعند الطبراني عن مالك بن يخامر أن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لهم إن آخر كلام فارقت عليه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن قلت أي الأعمال أحب إلى الله؟ قال أن تموت ولسانك رطب من ذكر الله. معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه فرماتے ہیں کہ میں نے حضور صلى الله عليه وسلم سے جدا ہوتے وقت جو آخری بات آپ سے سنی وہ یہ تھی کہ میں نے آپ صلى الله عليه وسلم سے پوچھا تھا اللہ کو سب سے زیادہ کون سا عمل پسند ہے؟ آپ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا تمہیں اس حال میں موت آئے کہ تمہاری زبان ذکر اللہ سے تر ہو. حضرت معاذ بن جبل رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ said, the last words which I departed from Nabi صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم with was that I asked, which action is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that you depart from the world in the condition that your tongue is wet with the ذکر of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu has said, the last words with which I departed from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that I asked, which action is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, that you depart from the world in the condition that your tongue is wet with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.